Welcome to Product-Led Growth Leaders, where we learn about the bold path of building digital products that sell themselves. Let's listen to product leaders who can give us a glimpse into the innovative thinking process. Showcasing and celebrating these awesome folks, I'm your host, UX and product design veteran, Thomas Watkins. Welcome to Product-Led Growth Leaders. We've got a great guest for the show today, Ibek Yegamberdin. He has a background as a product manager and has been a co-founder a few times. Today, he is co-founder of Superflex, which is bridging the gap between design and code. Ibek, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Thomas. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, pleasure to have you. In fact, I'm really excited about this conversation today because it's near and dear to what I do as a designer who strives to build PLG products, but it's the design and code magic dance that I think we're going to be getting into. So why don't we start off by helping the audience understand the problem and just when we're working on building products, what are the issues that come up in this rift between design and code?
Yeah, so there are many different problems out there. The problem we are solving with Superflex is writing front-end code takes a long time. It's a very time-consuming, I would say even slightly boring aspect of development, particularly translating designs to code. We initially built this because we ourselves struggled. We were building a different startup at the time, and we were struggled with translating designs to code. And we built this initially to solve our own problem and launched it as an internal tool. And then later we actually found that a lot of other developers are actually struggling with it. So we built Figma to code that, and that we saw a lot of traction with that. But basically the biggest pain point is that it's very time consuming and less expensive to convert designs to code.
Yeah, so let's talk about the job of the front end folks. Front end developers, of course, they're working on the interface and they're getting their sort of direct marching orders from the design deliverables in a lot of ways. When you're talking about how that aspect of the job is boring, it's not where you want to spend your time, where do front end coders want to spend their time and how we're going to get to the solution momentarily, but let's separate the part that they don't like versus the part that they do love.
Yeah. So when we built this as an internal tool, we saw that it works really well for us. And basically, to describe a solution, it's taking input from Figma and then providing output with code that actually matches your coding style and reuses your UI components. And that's a huge part of it as well. So when developers do get the code, they have more time to spend time on business logic to actually polish and ship tickets out. And of course, it's nice to build something that in the end users will see, but a lot of developers don't like spending time manually translating this design to code. And they would rather work on more like business logic or more complex stuff.
To dive into that for maybe the listeners who might not get into the nitty gritty of the front end code. So the designers are trying to make sure that there's different kinds of designers. There's the UX designers trying to make sure that the flow and the behavior of the screens is right. But then you have the UI designers, the graphic designers, who are trying to make sure that they've designed the pixel perfect color, layout, and topography. So, you know, what we're saying here, Ibek is pointing out that you don't want to spend all your time on the color of this button under the different states and making sure the color is right and that in the corner radius is the right curvature. And if you're spending all of your time on that, you're now missing opportunities to do other things at the front end code, make sure that the validations are coming correctly or that the behavior of things is coming out. Is that about?
Yeah, exactly right. That's the thing that actually takes a lot of time. And, you know, in the end, it is a little bit basic, I would say. Doing that, it's okay if you do it once a month, but if you have to do it 10 times every month, that gets just repetitive.
Let's talk about where some of the others in that space might be falling short. So I'll name a few. You've got Figma. Developers will use Figma to some degree, but then Figma came out with Figma Dev. You had Zeppelin some years back. I don't know if it came out maybe 10 years ago or something like that. I use Zeppelin a lot for stuff. And that basically is you design something, then you put it into Zeppelin and you get the kind of translation, you get CSS examples, and then Figma Dev caught up and did the same thing. And you've got things like Storybook, which you've got the library that does. So let's talk about where some of those fall short.
Yeah, so we interviewed a lot of engineers. The most common thing with Figma, Figma Dev Mode, is it's too basic. It generates HTML and CSS, and it, most developers, when we talk to them, the way they use it is just mainly for reference, just understanding what's the actual color, what are the margins, what are the paddings. It's, they still have to write all the code from scratch. So that's the most common, I would say, reason why a lot of developers don't use Figma Dev Mode to deeper extent. Tools like Zeppelin, I mean, it's more of a very enterprise-y tool. I would say, I would even describe it more as, honestly, designed to code handoff, like assistant. It generally does. The reason I believe Zeppelin was able to capture a lot of their clients is because for larger companies, there is just that much more complexity when it comes to design to code handoff. And when it comes to versioning and keeping your design system and all of the items that need to be built in place, that's where Zeppelin comes in. So that's my outlook on these tools. I would say for the actual like Figma to code, our closest competitors there are Builder.io, MyApp, and Locafy. Those three we always view as like the three most known companies, just specifically on Figma to code. And I'll say the difference for us was the main differentiator was one, we actually generate code that matches your existing coding style and reuses your components. That was one very strong reason to use us. And then secondly is that we're natively integrated into VS Code or Cursor. So you can install it as an extension and use it directly in your IDE versus all these other tools. You have to go to Figma, you have to like go through their own platform, then you copy the code, paste the code, and it kills the flow. And for engineers, staying in the flow is very important. And that's the main difference between those three tools.
Excellent stuff. Excellent description there. So you guys started off by dogfooding your own problems, and you built your own software tool to solve the problem mm-hmm. directly yourself. So that we know that you're not just hatching ideas out of the blue. You are actually building a solution there. And yeah. How did you end up thinking about, okay, let's turn this into a product? And what was that process like?
Yeah, it was very intuitive. So initially we built Superflex as just a GPT, like a custom GPT. And that's what we saw some people doing as well, is giving some snippets of your code base and then giving an image and then also giving instructions of what you're trying to build. And we just saw that AI was able to do that. And the obvious next step is to either build it as a Figma plugin or VS Code Cursor plugin extension. And we saw that there's a lot more value building it as a VS Code extension rather than the Figma plugin, because then we get access to your code base and we're actually able to generate code that reuses it. So it was pretty straightforward, but yeah, we didn't know that it would actually take off so much. So that was the interesting part.
That's super exciting. So let's walk through the experience of using Superflex. Is it that it's primarily for front-end developers, but the design team is interfacing with this somehow? How does that come together? When I start using Superflex, what is basically happening?
Yeah, in short, you just need to give it a link of the Figma file that you're trying to build, and Superflex does the rest. So Superflex understands we built our own in-house chain of thoughts. We built our own rack system. We built basically a lot of things from the ground up to really tailor it for this use case. So we're able to generate code that actually reuses all your components, actually matches your coding style, your standards in your code base. So yeah, then afterwards, Superflex generates new code. it tries to componentize it as much as possible. So it will not just generate you one big block. It will actually break it down to different components. That's and reuse your components where it can. So that's how the experience works today.
Do you have essentially like a AI, is it like Copilot, or because it's got to be trained on the current code base, and so you install it and then it can read the code base and it can see, I can see the CSS structures, or I can see the various things that you're calling components and this and that, and it basically is able to extract the logic there, and then it fills in the gap when you give the Figma links.
Yeah, exactly. And to add on that, it's not we're not taking your whole code base and passing that to LLM. We actually built our own way of taking only small chunks of the code, which helps a lot, one in security aspect. That's very important. And a lot of our customers really appreciate that. So we only take small chunks of code base that by itself, you cannot really make much of it. But it's just enough information for the LLM to be able to get the right context. And second is performance. It's much better not sending a whole chunk, a whole file to the LLM.
Earlier, you mentioned enterprise-focused tools, some of the other competitors in the space. Does that imply that Superflex is focusing on other gaps in the market, or you also do enterprise? Is there a sweet spot for a Superflex?
Yeah, so Superflex is used by all range of customers, all the way from individual developers to large enterprises. So we do actually have, right now we have one enterprise client. So that's also a use case there. And we are speaking with more enterprises. It just takes a lot of time, primarily in the legal space, to close some of those deals. But yeah, Superflex is used by like small customers to all the way to really large companies.
As a leader who's guiding a team to build such an innovative product, do you find that managing the team and the way they think, that you have to encourage sort of an innovative mindset? Or what are some of the things that you do on the team building side of things to make sure that everyone's mind is ready to produce on the cutting edge?
Yeah, so for our team, it's hiring the best people. We spent more than 3 months hiring our first two engineers, and that was really hard. That was brutal. We had the money, we could have hired way faster, but we really took the time to make sure that the people we get on board are the best people. And that's the goal moving forward, is to only hire the top people, people who are already on the edge. It's much harder to train somebody to become more innovative than hiring people who already are. So we know that's a better route to take. But yeah, we have really high standards on the hiring side.
Yeah. And so let's get meta, for example, right now is where good design is ultimately kind of the use case and the purpose for what you do, right? So products, SaaS companies out there that really care about having good design are really the ones who have to be using this. Do you, on the flip side, does your product itself, is that something that you find difficult to maintain, or making sure that you yourself have good design in the product that you're building?
That's a great question. Actually, because we are building a design tool as well right now. Design is very important for us. It was from the day one. I think that's what user experience in particular, that's what was able to get some of the companies to switch from some of our competitors to us, is because of the user experience. And we believe it will be more and more important in the age of AI, where there's so many new startups. We believe that design will be an important differentiator. And yeah, actually, I'm not sharing it too much publicly yet, but we are building a design tool. But just in short, to describe the problem that we see is AI is getting so good at generating code, and we see so many use cases where, we are enabling front-end engineers to move faster. What we've often heard from many different companies is that, and designers as well, is that they want to use it. And that really speeds up the whole iteration flow. So if AI is able to generate code, we see that there's an opportunity there to build a design tool that is able to connect better to code and potentially allow designers to use AI to its full potential. Yeah, that's a little bit about the next product.
Very exciting. We look forward to hearing about that in the future. On the topic of AI being able to do so much code and do so much to help us, what do you see as the emerging new role of the human in the process? I don't think anybody can say for sure what exactly is 2 years out or 5 years out or 10 years out, but you're on the cutting edge of this. And we've seen that AI kind of carves out more and more of the territory of what humans used to do. So what do you think we should look at as, hey, this is the role of the humans, at least for the shorter term, immediate future?
Yeah, I believe that humans will be more of orchestrators working with AI to get to the goal that they're trying to achieve. I don't think that AI will replace 99% of, or I should say, AI will not replace 99% of positions fully. However, what does happen is that now one person can do a job of three, let's say in AI code gen space, coding space, and all other roles. I think that the future is we will be using AI and it will be like our pal. Like previously, people used to work without computers. Then they, once we had computers, we had better tools to actually work more efficiently, internet. So that these are like the big unlocks that happen. And I think that AI will be super huge, even bigger than the internet. That's what some of the leaders are saying. And I truly see that we're just at the very small brink of what AI is able to do. And I think it is about to change so many things that are around us.
Yeah, so fascinating. Going back a little bit to your product, and I know we're not deep diving into the design tool that's coming up, and there'll be exciting things there, I'm really sure. But in terms of the users, the primary one being the front-end developers and to some degree the designers, are you having an opportunity to test with folks a lot to either watch them using it or giving live feedback or gathering live usage data? What does that feedback loop look like for you guys?
Yeah, we took that super. We think that's a super important part of the product development journey. And we did it from the start. When we were in an accelerator, we always dog food new features and saw how people use it. And even today, like I'm talking to at least one customer per day. I'm able to get a lot of feedback and learn a lot. And I'm at the point where I hear very consistent feedback as well, or very consistent kind of like challenges when I dive deeper into it. So that's what's giving me enough clarity to be able to like think about what we're doing now and think about what we're doing in the next 3 months, 6 months.
Yeah.
Yeah, very important. I spend at least 30 minutes every day on that.
Yeah. Really exciting stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been speaking with Aibek Yeğenberdin. Aibek, where can people get in touch with you and also get started using Superflex?
Yeah, you can always find me on LinkedIn, Aibek Yeğenberdin. You can find me on Twitter, just at Yeğenberdin. And yeah, you can check out Superflex at superflex.ai. And the design tool, we'll announce it when it's out there.
Nice. Awesome stuff. Really exciting. We'd like to check back with you when that launches for sure. Aibek, thank you so much for joining us today.
Of course. Thank you, Thomas.
Thank you. Okay, so don't jump off yet. I've always said to tell people
Okay.
to tell me for a couple of minutes because people were like, okay, bye. Oh. So no, that I think that went really well. What'd you think of that conversation?
Yeah, no, it was good. It was good. Yeah, I didn't tell you about the design tool. To be honest, it would be too hard to even explain it beforehand, but
Yeah.
once we launch it, I'll be happy to do
Yeah.
another podcast. Yeah.
I think that would be absolutely terrific because that sounds because my mind instantly goes to a bunch of different places because I've had ideas years ago about what if this could so I can't wait to hear about how that all comes together. And that's cool. You just sprinkled it out there for the audience to whet their appetite, and then you guys can crunch away and work on it. And so this episode will probably drop, I think, sometime next month, sometime probably during August, because I'm after that 3-week break, I'm restocking my interviews back up because they post twice a week. Yeah.
Nice.
And would you be cool with you and I just having a quick one-on-one follow-up maybe in a couple of weeks or so, just to see if there's any opportunities for like cross-pollination or so? Let me throw something on the calendar. And I don't know if you know what we do. We happen to do, we're a small design agency based in Houston, and we work with a lot of startups and stuff like that. Could be interesting conversations there. What do you think of, let's see, the week of, next week might be a little bit tight. What do you think of the week of the 21st, if you have a half hour?
So 21st and 22nd would be hard, but 23rd through 25th, anytime like in the morning or afternoon,
Are you going to be back in the States? You're going to be back in the States yet? Okay.
Yeah, I'll be back in the States by then. Yeah.
So you have to do your 7-hour readjustment, and then because it's afternoon over there right now.
Yeah.
Let's see. How about Thursday? What time is that? 10, like, I don't know, 10:30 or 11:30 maybe? 10:30.
Is it
Central? Central. So this would be Pacific. Oh, that'd be a little bit, let's go later because that'd be a little bit early for you. If we did like 1 p.m.
Okay.
My time, which would be 11 your time Western.
Yeah, that works.
Cool. All right. I'll throw that on the calendar and for the 24th. Yeah.
Awesome.
Awesome. Great meeting you, Ibik, and take it easy. Enjoy Spain, and I'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Thank you, Thomas. Great to meet you, and see you in 2 weeks.
Likewise. Thank you. See you next time.
Bye. See you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in. Join us next time on Product-Led Growth Leaders. Take care.